Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In order to win this football game?
I don't think he needs to be anything different. I think the version that we saw last week or 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game, obviously when you run for 7 rushing touchdowns and Saquon, and I understand so much of the conversation gets dominated by the run game and Saquon, and rightfully so. But when you look at some of the big moment plays last week, the touchdown before the half, some of the gotta-have-it moments, they came through the air. And I think what everyone has to make sure they're clear on is just because Jalen Hurts is not a high-volume passer does not mean he's not an effective and efficient passer. The style in which Philadelphia plays is a style which is very unique to them because of the offensive line and the run game, and they play with a lead, and the defense is so good. So all of those factors, you're not going to throw the ball for 350 yards. You're not going to play in a lot of shootouts. Now, can they play in a shootout? We saw him play in a shootout 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, and obviously they came up short, but, I mean, it was right there, both teams over 30. So I think Jalen Hurts has shown from the pocket, on time, with the weapons that he has, he is an effective, efficient, highly efficient quarterback. On the run, the big plays, downfield, he's a better scramble runner than he is a scramble passer. But I think when he's in the pocket playing within rhythm, I think he doesn't need to do anything other than rely on those weapons, continue to distribute the ball, get the ball out of his hand on time.
What's your guess on how Steve Spagnuolo is going to defend them? Because 2 years ago, you mentioned that Super Bowl, you were on the call for that game.
Yep.
Jalen had a really good game. He had the one turnover, but most of the time he was moving the ball down the field.
He was incredible,
Now, last year these two teams played on a Monday night game, and Jalen did not have a great game. Eagles won that game, low-scoring game, kind of an ugly game, but Spagnuolo blitzed them a lot. They sacked him 5 times. Do you think they're coming after him, or do you think they're going to play more coverage and try to make Hurts hold the ball and see what he's seeing out there?
Yeah, so I think the last couple matchups, Spags has brought a lot of pressure, and I think if I'm in Spags' shoes and I'm part of this plan, I'm saying I want to blitz him up the middle. I want to get him off his spot. I want to make him run sideways. I don't want him stepping up in the pocket. He's able to become a scramble runner, and he picks up first downs, and he converts, you know, third downs and whatnot with his legs. I want to get him running sideways. I want to get him running ideally to his left. The defense is right. But either way, get him running sideways. I'm playing hard inside leverage. They want to run those in-breaking routes, big body of A.J. Brown. They're going to mix in some man coverage. Obviously, A.J. Brown is a nightmare man coverage player on the offensive side of the ball. So those are the thoughts that I would have if I want to slow them down. And then the question becomes how much do you want to allocate towards Saquon Barkley? And everyone always talks about, okay, how many players do you want to allocate towards the run game? Do you play one safety, two safeties? My first question that we try to lay out on our broadcast and we try to paint to the viewer is, my ability to turn the ball around to Saquon Barkley is completely contingent upon my defense's ability to stop Patrick Mahomes. If you stop Patrick Mahomes, you can turn around and hand the ball to Saquon Barkley as many times as you want. If all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes in this offense comes out hot and you fall behind, the value of that run game is completely diminished. So that's probably the element that people don't spend enough time. It's not just stopping Saquon Barkley. It's playing defense, which they've done a great job, playing defense well enough the entire game against Mahomes to make the run game even worthwhile. That's the question.
You know, I'm curious because you talk about we've been talking about Jalen Hurts all week long and everything, but I'm curious from your perspective and the way this defense has been playing, how do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to attack this Eagles defense?
You know, I'll tell you, there's not a lot of places to attack. I mean,
yeah, because I was thinking, not
this
to get
is
ahead
a
of
really
you,
good defense.
But I was thinking, because it feels to me, just on the surface, that there might be something there when you talk about the young secondary players that you have.
Yeah,
maybe you could do some things to confuse them. Maybe you think that there's something there that he can exploit.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three levels of that Philadelphia defense under Vic Fangio, I think this is even a better unit than they were 2 years ago when they were incredible under Jonathan Gannon. Obviously, last year they took a big step back. I think that was really – so much of it was about Jalen Hurts and the offense. The real issue was last year is they went from having a really good defense under Gannon. He gets the head job. They bring in Sean Desai. They take a significant step backwards. And now this year under Vic Fangio, they go from, you know, 31st in the league in most categories to – arguably number one or two.
Crazy.
So that's really the conversation around the defense, and they've done it with a lot of young players, right? And we all talk about Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith playing really well as he's gotten more and more time along the front. Zach Bond is a critical piece. He can play both levels. But it's the young secondary, right? It's Mitchell. It's Reed Blankenship. I know he's been around for a while, but again, just continuing to improve. And then obviously Cooper DeJean. So I'm with you. I do think if there is any vulnerability, I do think the pass rush, I do think the threat of the pass rush, teams get the ball out really quickly against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They almost tell themselves, all right, we're not going to sit back here and hold it real long because I know that rush is coming. I know we have some tough matchups. So I think you can, if you can protect, I think you can challenge Philadelphia on the back end, medium to deep zones, man coverage downfield. So, but again, the question everyone has is how long are you willing to hold the ball to attack those areas of the defense and try to exploit them. That's the balance that teams kind of every week go into. You know, I have all these great plays, but can you protect it?
Yeah, till you get to those great plays.
Yeah, that you can have guys running all over the place if you want. You know, quarterback's not going to complete the ball on his back.
What makes the Chiefs so good in these one-score games? 17 straight is ridiculous. I mean, you could do this the next 20 years. You'll never see a team probably do this again. Is it something they're doing stylistically? Is Andy Holt something back? Why are they so good late in the game?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. It helps when you have Patrick Mahomes. And I don't care about yards, stats. He doesn't throw for the high volume maybe he did earlier in his career. The defense is a lot better. They run the ball a little bit more. Maybe some of his weapons since Tyreek have changed. The style in which they play, which was that deep strike offense, they've really reinvented themselves on offense these last couple years, and it still doesn't seem to matter. In critical moments, right? So we're talking, we saw it last week at the end of the game. They've got to close out a game and not give the ball back and settle for a field goal. They pick up third and fourth and shorts. They get down there in goal-to-go situations when most teams might have to kick a field goal. Incredibly creative to come away with touchdowns, two-point conversions. The gotta-have-it moments, obviously focus on offense. But then on defense, they get the stops. They get the takeaways. So if you have to win a game by just winning more plays than the other team, you're going to do that sometimes. On just a play-by-play basis, can I win more than you win? Sometimes you're just going to be better than them. But in these really competitive games where they could go either way, it's not the team that wins the most individual plays. It's the team that wins the most impactful plays, right? Third downs, goal to go, critical moments of the game. That's been the magic formula. So if the best way for Philadelphia to win this is to get a lead early, keep that lead, and make them play from behind and chase me. Because if this is a back-and-forth game, and this is not unique to Philadelphia, this is not unique to anyone, this is not a knock on anyone, beating them in the gotta-have-it moments, the critical moments, especially if Mahomes has the ball in his hand, people haven't done that very often.
Almost never. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they lose to the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
That's the Bengals.
No, they lost to the Bengals playoffs games, and then they lost to Brady.
Yeah, that's it. He has three playoff losses in 7 years in the NFL.
That's it.
Yeah, I got excited. So, Greg, let me ask you this. You mentioned get up on them, right? Nick Sirianni, he was very aggressive 2 years ago. Remember you guys talking about that during the broadcast 2 years ago. And then as this season has unfolded, he was a little bit less aggressive, I think, because the passing game wasn't great and he realized how great his defense is. Last week, 4th and 5 before halftime, he throws a bomb down the field and they get up on the – do you think we need an aggressive Sirianni in this game or a little bit less? Because we've seen all the different versions of Sirianni.
I think he's got to be as aggressive as he's ever been. Again, aggressive is not reckless. Right, so I think the conversation that gets lost in all of this fourth downs and the way teams are managing the game with being more willing to go for fourth downs and yards to gain and field position is very different than it was 5 years ago.
Sure.
But it's really just taking the optimal. It's not being reckless. It's just being optimal, right? So they have to say, okay, going into this game, if I want to beat Patrick Mahomes, the best chance for me is I'm going in offensively saying I got to be north of 30 points. And then you start chipping that down, every takeaway, every punt, every field goal you force. As the more stops the Philly defense gets, that number now that the offense has to go out and shoot for just continues to come down into the high 20s, so on and so forth. But every possession has to be maximized. Every scoring opportunity has to be maximized. And the advantage that they've had, and they've now refound it, the magic of 2 years ago was third down was second down. From the 40-yard line to the goal line, so for 60 yards, give or take, they start every possession first and 8.5. Every third and five in every team in the league is a pass beyond the sticks, but not for Philadelphia. Because they know if they get tackled short or they hand the ball off, in this case now to Saquon, 2 years ago it was Miles Sanders, if I get stopped on fourth and one on third and medium,
you get tush push.
We're just going to get the first down anyway. It's a free 1.5 to 2 yards. It's a free down. And defenses know that. So now on third and five, most teams, I'm calling pass. I'm bringing in nickel, third down pressures, and I'm saying you're going to try to throw the ball beyond the sticks. But now as a defensive coordinator, I'm Spags, and I'm saying – I'm playing this like second and five because you could hand it off. You could play action. You could throw short of the sticks. You have your entire play because you got to play it like second down because you have an extra down. So, like, that's what made them so good 2 years ago. I think they have a better roster now, but they need to come with that mentality that they came out with where they scored 30-plus and they just couldn't get the stops at the end. But that was the formula. They got off to a fast start. They went for a couple fourth downs. They were super aggressive. Yep. They played with a lead. Obviously, you know, that's the formula. If you can play that style with a very talented team, you got a shot.
You know, I'm curious because, you know, you do the national show and you've been around a lot of people. What do you think of Coach Sirianni as a coach?
I love him. I like his style. I know his style is not for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
I get it.
Because we call him Bubblehead. Some people call him Bubblehead, and they don't like the way that he does things.
What don't the people in Philadelphia like about him? Like, do they not like winning? Like, what do they not like?
They like winning. So, I mean, he did have the incident where he was yelling at the crowd.
Like, they don't like
I get that.
Yeah,
yeah. And again, fans are proud, and I get it. You shouldn't be yelling at the van.
I think part of it is he's been given such a good roster, it's tough to parse the credit in Philadelphia, right? Great roster. We do this with the quarterback, too. You know, how much of this is just they have the best roster versus how much? Because usually you win a lot, the coach and quarterback
and
all the credit.
And then it was a question, what does he do? What does he bring to the table?
Call the offense or defense, yeah.
But I think we've seen some of the best coaches in the history of the NFL that don't necessarily call the plays.
For sure.
Right? I mean, they're involved. If you don't think Nick Sirianni's heavily involved with Kellen Moore in the game plan, I think you're wrong. I think he's super involved in the play calling. I think he does a really good job tying in, Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. When those two plans are put together on both sides of the ball, I don't think they're put together in a silo. They're not put together in a vacuum. They're directly correlated, and he's that conduit, right? He's the piece that blends the offense and the defense approach to make sure they complement one another. You don't just make a defensive plan and say, we're going to stick to our world. You make an offense, and we'll figure it out on Sunday. That's not how the good teams are doing it, right? It is completely mapped out. It's married together. And then I think where he does the best job is I think he puts a lot of time and attention into these got-to-have-it moments, too. The situational football, understanding the identity of his team. It was really the avenue in which they made the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I think we have to be very careful knocking a quarterback for playing with good players. And I think we have to be very careful knocking a coach for playing with good players. Like, you play with the hand that you're dealt. Mm. And this is now two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. I think in his first, 4 years of being a head coach, only one guy's won more games than him. Like, I don't.
There's a lot. The resume's good.
It's a lot to
Now, could other guys have had the success? Sure, maybe. I'm not saying he's the only guy that could have had success, but, like, would every guy have this success? No. Messaging, continuity, the way you deliver a vision, team meeting, the way you – navigate bumps in the road. They could have fallen apart from last year. Last year, the end was a complete disaster.
Well, then they start 2-2 this year, and it felt like an extension.
And he turns it over.
Yep.
And so, like, I think we get so wrapped up in today's day and age calling great plays and the sexy play caller and the rankings and the yards. And don't get me wrong, all that matters. But, like, we don't give guys enough credit for the culture, the vision, the ability to, when things don't go well, can bring the group back together. And how often do we see great teams just completely spiral out of control? It happened to Philly at the end last year. They made some changes in the offseason. He's also replaced multiple coordinators.
And probably has to again now.
I think we have to give them a little credit for that. How many people win the Super Bowl, lose both coordinators to be head coaches, bring in two new guys? They clearly aren't a good match for one way or another. Replaces them and now refines and gets back to the Super Bowl. So, that's hard. We're going to see Dan Campbell go through it this year, who I think is a great coach. But he's going to go through what Sirianni went through 2 years ago, where he's got to continue to rebuild his staff. And there's a beauty and a magic to that too. It's not just, hey, who's the best coach? It's who's the best fit. And so there's a lot more to being a head coach in the NFL than just calling the plays.
No doubt. Greg, we appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy. Thanks so much for being with us.
Appreciate you guys.
And enjoy Sunday.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Greg Olson with us there on Radio Row. 215-592-94.